The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jean Latshaw from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Ladies Magazine. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Better Homes and Gardens, Good Housekeeping, Martha Stewart Living, Real Simple, and Woman's Day. Let's begin with this one from Real Simple, 5 Ways to Be a Better Listener. In these pinging, buzzing, distraction-packed times, active listening is harder than ever. Here's how to give someone your full attention and make every conversation count. First, pretend you're watching a movie. Immerse yourself in the person's story, says Rebecca Shafir, author of The Zen of Listening, Mindful Communication in the Age of Distraction. I'll spell her last name, S-H-A-F-I-R. Read their body language for the message behind their words. Words often only offer a glimpse of how someone really feels. They might say they're fine, totally fine, with the breakup. Why then are they shredding their napkin into bits? Watch them. Stay quiet between their sentences and forget yourself, your agenda, your judgments, just as you do at the movies, Shafir says. At the theater, we listen with curiosity. We listen to understand. We don't interrupt because it's not about us. Next, put the other person in the spotlight. You want to convey that the speaker has your complete attention, says Barbara Greenberg, Ph.D., a clinical psychologist in Weston, Connecticut. Stop watering the plants. Look at the person. Point your body in their direction to signal that your focus is on them. And leave your phone in your bag or another room. One study found that when 2 people talked with a cell phone in view, they felt less empathy and connection. Paying attention is also a useful time saver, especially at work. You won't have to repeat the conversation an hour or week later. Ask lots of the right questions. But wait, isn't it impossible to eat keto with little kids at home? What was the look on his face when he told you? And don't forget a good old tell me more. Let sincere interest guide your queries, says Ellen Hendrickson, Ph.D., author of How to Be Yourself, Quiet Your Inner Critic, and Rise Above Social Anxiety. I'll spell her last name, H-E-N-D-R-I-K-S-E-N. Not only does asking questions demonstrate how engaged you are, it also is a great way to make a good first impression, research shows. Next, repeat the important stuff. For tough talks, a disagreement with your mother, a vent session with a friend who's going through a messy divorce, it can help if you repeat the gist of their crucial comments. Wow, it sounds like you feel really overwhelmed by all the new responsibilities you have. Or even if you don't agree with everything the other person says, they will feel understood. And that appreciation means they'll likely lend you an ear when you need it most. And last, don't solve their problems. Common listening pitfall is trying to have all the answers. Instead of fully hearing out a friend, you're scrolling through your brain, concocting a hasty solution to their complicated health issue. But have you tried vitamin D? You need a change of mindset, says Vanessa Marin, a sex and relationship therapist in Los Angeles. As a listener, your most important job is to just try to understand the person. That's often what people want the most. From Real Simple, surprising facts about staying hydrated. It's a tall order to get your daily 11.5 glasses. That's why you need to think beyond the tap. Thirst is a late indicator of dehydration. If you're parched, it's possible your body has already lost 1 to 2% of its water content, hindering physical and mental functioning. So rather than waiting for thirst to set in, watch for early clues of dehydration, including headache, fatigue, decreased exercise performance, dizziness, and hunger. Blame the midday blues on mild dehydration. Not drinking enough water can result in irritability and even anxiety. Studies show that a lack of liquid can impair cognitive performance, which could interfere with memory, mental energy, and focus. Water is not the most hydrating beverage. Huh? Turns out milk really does do the body good. Full-fat milk, skim milk, and even orange juice hydrate better than water, since they contain electrolytes that help maintain fluid balances in the body, a study in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition found. The study also noted that in terms of hydration potential, water is no different from beer or soda. Produce hydrates better than water, too. Water-rich fruits and vegetables, such as grapefruit, cucumbers, lettuce, and celery, can hydrate effectively thanks to their electrolytes. 4 to 5 servings a day can give you about 18% of your daily fluid needs. Hit 9 servings, and you could get 40%. And from Better Homes and Gardens, the 5 best ways to strengthen your immune system. It's cold and flu season, with COVID-19 on top of it. So, keeping your immune system functioning at its best is crucial. The healthier your lifestyle, the healthier your immune system. And experts are discovering more and more steps that keep your defenses up. Our immune system has evolved over thousands of years to be extremely resilient to all kinds of threats, but there's a lot you can do to help it along, says Satya Dandekar, Ph.D., Chair of Medical Microbiology and Immunology at the School of Medicine, University of California, Davis. We narrowed the recommendations down to what experts say are 5 important steps to take to stay healthy this time of year. 1. Be active as often as possible. Exercise boosts your immunity by mobilizing your infection-fighting immune cells. The immune cells activated during and after exercise are the best ones you have, says David Neiman, Ph.D., director of the Appalachian State University Human Performance Laboratory at the North Carolina Research Campus. A heart-pumping 30 to 40-minute workout 3 or more days a week is key, but less vigorous and shorter bursts of daily activity are also important. Soon after you're done working out, the surge in immune cell activity ends. So moving your body as regularly as you can will keep your immune system strong, Neiman says. Aim for 30 minutes or so of moderate activity daily. You can break that up into chunks as long as you elevate your heart rate a bit. Also note that new research suggests moving your body regularly can reduce your risk of acute respiratory distress syndrome, which is lung damage that can result from a variety of causes, including as a complication of COVID-19. 2, make time to meditate, or do yoga. Stress not only puts you in a bad mood, it also interferes with the workings of your immune system. When you get worked up, your body goes into fight or flight mode, causing a physiological reaction that leads to, among other things, high levels of inflammation. The problem is that if inflammation levels remain constantly high, your immune system doesn't work as well when you need it to fight infections. Chronically high inflammation disrupts the ability of your immune system to sense pathogens and ramp up an effective attack, Dandekar said. Although you can't stop stress, you can help mitigate your body's reaction to it. Research shows that yoga and meditation are especially powerful. They both engage what's called the vagal nerve complex, which is involved in both your body's relaxation response and the regulation of inflammation, says William Bushnell, Ph.D., Director of Research and Academic Liaison for the Chopra Research Library Whole Health Institute. In other words, yoga and meditation are especially good at helping you relax and decrease inflammation levels to avoid negative effects on your immune system. The more regularly you practice one, the bigger the impact. Aim for at least 15 to 20 minutes a day. 3, assume you have a vitamin D deficiency. Research shows that vitamin D is crucial to immunity. In the lab, when we treat airway cells with vitamin D, we enhance their ability to resist viral infections, says Adrian Martineau, Ph.D., clinical professor of respiratory infection and immunity at Queen Mary University of London. We also reviewed 39 clinical trials and saw that vitamin D supplements help protect your body from respiratory infections when taken daily and at modest doses, 400 to 1,000 IU. 10 to 25 micrograms per day. Early research suggests that not having high enough levels of vitamin D is linked to a higher risk of death from COVID-19. Our bodies make vitamin D when we're exposed to the sun. But in winter and spring, the sun is often not enough to bring D levels to where they should be. A starting point, 400 IU a day. Also focus on eating D-rich foods, like oily fish and D-fortified milk and cereals. At your next doctor's visit, ask to have your vitamin D levels tested. It's a simple blood test, and that way you'll know where you stand. 4. Keep your gut bacteria happy. An overall healthy diet of fresh fruits and vegetables, lean proteins such as chicken, poultry, and fish, and some healthy fats, especially omega-3s, is rich in antioxidants ideal for the immune system. But take special care to nourish your gut microbiome. Important immune activity takes place in the gut. And if your gut isn't healthy, it has a severe negative impact on your immune system, says Helene Kresner, MS, an RDN in Long Island, New York. How to keep the cells lining your gut and the bacteria that thrive there humming? On top of managing stress, eat fermented foods such as yogurt, kefir, which is a yogurt-like drink, and sauerkraut, plus lots of fiber-rich plant-based foods. You need probiotics from fermented foods to promote a strong population of good bacteria. You need prebiotics, certain types of fiber, to nourish the bacteria and help them thrive, Krasner says. The best foods for fiber? Whole grains, beans, fruits, and vegetables. And 5, make up for lost sleep. Sleep is crucial because that's when all the body's systems, including the immune system, restore and replenish themselves so they can function at their best. How much do you need? Experts say the minimum is 6 hours and the ideal is 7.5 to 8 for most people. But the actual amount you require is individual. Think about how long you sleep when you're on vacation without an alarm. That's about how much you need. If you don't clock enough at night, you can make up for it. A daytime nap can help your body's restorative process, says Rebecca Spencer, Ph.D., professor of psychological and brain sciences at the University of Massachusetts Amherst. You just need to get to slow wave sleep, which is important to your body's recovery process, which kicks in about 15 minutes after you fall asleep. From Real Simple, Petiquette. Ensure harmony among the animals and people in your life with this expert advice. It's a question and answer format. Question, how can I show appreciation for my pet's caretaker during the holidays? Well, this is a little bit late, but it'll matter for other times. If you can afford it, give a cash tip equal to 1 week's pay if you use the caretaker often, or 15 to 20% of their day rate if you use them infrequently, says Patricia Rossi, an etiquette expert in Tampa Bay, Florida. Many service professionals have taken a hit this year, so if you want to show thanks while helping your local economy, be generous. And no, a cash gift is not impersonal, especially for the self-employed. A little extra at the holidays can go a long way, says Sarah Covert, who owns a pet sitting and dog walking business in New Orleans. Question, if someone else's dog begs for human food, is it rude to give some? Answer, it's not only rude, it's also dangerous to feed a dog human food or otherwise without approval from the owner, says Mary Gardner, DVM, a veterinarian in Boynton Beach, Florida. Many dogs have food allergies or diseases that require a strict diet, so always ask before offering food to a pet. The next time you're on the receiving end of puppy dog eyes, hold on to your food and give a belly rub or scratch behind the ears instead. And last, question, my friend's cat is feisty with my daughter and we visit often. How can I handle it? Answer, your best bet is to teach your daughter how to interact with the cat, says Marilyn Krieger, a cat behavior consultant and the author of Naughty No More. I'll spell her last name, K-R-I-E-G-E-R. Show your daughter the proper way to pet a cat. Get down to the cat's level, extend a finger, and let him come to you. Recognize signs that the cat is done engaging. He may swish his tail quickly, twitch his fur when petted, or turn his ears. And no matter how much you trust your daughter, never leave her alone with the cat. How to stop stress eating. This from Better Homes and Gardens. 1. Check your hunger. Before you open the fridge or rummage through the pantry, stop and ask yourself, am I truly hungry? Real psychological hunger will sometimes also have physical symptoms, such as a growling tummy or lightheadedness. These intensify with time and won't go away until you eat, says Cardialis Misora Casago, RDN, a spokesperson for the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. So wait 5 to 10 minutes. If you're still hungry, have a healthy snack like veggies with hummus or a handful of nuts or whole grain crackers. Next, sip a cup of herbal tea. The variety doesn't matter. The key is that you're doing something to distract yourself before opening the bag of chips, plus allowing time for the urge to eat to pass. Go to a chair you love. Close your eyes for a moment and inhale deeply, says Deborah Keston, MPH, a holistic nutrition researcher and author of Whole Person Integrative Eating. I'll spell her last name, K-E-S-T-E-N. Then sip slowly, which is easier when it's a hot beverage. Sipping decaf tea or water with lemon is a smart move because thirst is often mistaken for hunger. 3. Get enough vitamin B. Being deficient in vitamin B can make you more prone to depression and anxiety, which in turn can increase cravings for starchy carbs that up the levels of the feel-good brain chemical serotonin. Incorporating vitamin B-rich foods, including unrefined grains such as oats, brown rice, and quinoa, fruits, vegetables, nuts, beans, and peas into your daily diet can help keep your mood and tension levels in check, so you're less likely to find yourself stressed out and wanting to eat. 4. Walk it off. Every time you eat, when you're tense, a pattern is created in your brain, which becomes comfortable with that pattern as a default for dealing with stress, says Brigid Tegemeister, a functional medicine dietitian. Breaking that habit might not be easy, but it's doable. Each time you take a brisk walk or practice deep breathing, instead of reaching for a cookie, you're leveraging what's called neuroplasticity, or the ability to change networks in the brain by making new connections. 5. Keep healthy foods handy. If, after not eating for a while after tension hits, you still feel hungry, increase the odds that you'll reach for something healthy by keeping those foods in plain sight. For example, keep a stash of baby carrots, bell pepper slices, and celery sticks front and center in the fridge. Place a bowl of fresh fruit on the kitchen counter. You're more likely to reach for the fiber and nutrient-rich apple if you don't have to dig through the produce drawer to find it. And they have a couple little asides, two other little tips. First, schedule meal times. Working from home, keep a regular schedule, taking a set lunch and snack break as if you were still in the office. And use a bowl when you do snack. Portion out a certain amount in a bowl. That way, you track how much you eat and think twice before having seconds. Yeah, we get into trouble if we just open the chip bag, don't we? From Better Homes and Gardens, soups on. Reimagine a few favorite all-American dinners. Tacos, chicken pot pie, lasagna, as bowls of spoonable comfort. All it takes is a few minutes of prep work, and then your trusty slow cooker handles the rest. First up is taco soup. Hands-on time is 15 minutes. Total time, 6 hours 15 on low or 3 hours 15 on high. Here's what we need: a pound of ground beef or ground turkey, 3 15-ounce cans of beans such as black-eyed peas, black beans, and or red kidney beans rinsed and drained, a 15-ounce can of chili beans and chili gravy, undrained, 1 14.5-ounce can Mexican-style stewed tomatoes, undrained and snipped, 2 cans, 14.5-ounce, reduced sodium beef broth, 1 11-ounce can whole kernel corn with bell peppers, drained, 1 1.25 ounce envelope of taco seasoning mix, and your desired toppings. In a large skillet, cook meat over medium-high until browned. Drain off any fat. In a 4 to 6 quart slow cooker, combine meat, all 4 cans of beans, tomatoes, broth, corn, and taco seasoning mix. Cover. Cook on low 6 to 8 hours or on high 3 to 4 hours. Serve with desired toppings. They're showing guacamole, grated cheese, jalapeno peppers. Serves 8, it says. Yeah, it's going to make quite a bit. Next, how about veggie pesto lasagna soup? Hands-on time is 20 minutes. Total time, 7 hours 50 minutes for low or 4 hours 20 minutes on high. We need 6 cups reduced sodium chicken broth, 3 cups chopped peeled butternut squash, 1 14.5-ounce can of diced tomatoes undrained, 1 15-ounce can tomato sauce, 1/2 cup of chopped red bell pepper, 2 teaspoons dried Italian seasoning, crushed, 3 garlic cloves, minced, 8 ounces of lasagna noodles broken into bite-sized pieces, 2 cups baby spinach, coarsely chopped, 2 tablespoons basil pasta, pesto, 2 tablespoons basil pesto, 1 cup ricotta cheese, and Parmesan cheese, optional. In a 5 to 6 quart slow cooker, combine broth, butternut squash, tomatoes, tomato sauce, bell pepper, Italian seasoning, and garlic. Cover and cook on low 7 to 8 hours or on high 3.5 to 4 hours or until squash is almost tender. If using low, turn to high. Stir in broken lasagna noodles. Cook about 30 minutes more or until noodles are tender. Stir in spinach and pesto. Top each serving with a spoonful of ricotta and additional pesto. If desired, sprinkle with Parmesan cheese. And this serves 8 as well. Russet potatoes are key to this next soup's flavor and texture. High in starch, russets have a soft, slightly mealy consistency that thickens the soup as it cooks. Loaded potato soup. Loaded baked potato soup. Prep time, 20 minutes. Slow cook time, 7 hours 50 minutes or 4 hours 20 minutes, depending. We need 3-pound russet potatoes, peeled if desired, and chopped. 4 cups reduced sodium chicken broth, 3/4 cup chopped red bell peppers, 2 garlic cloves minced, 1/2 cup of heavy cream or half and half, 3 tablespoons all-purpose flour, 3 cups small broccoli florets, 2 cups shredded cheddar cheese or 8 ounces, 1 cup of sour cream, 4 green onions thinly sliced, 6 slices bacon crisp cooked. In a 5 to 6 quart slow cooker, combine potatoes, broth, bell pepper, garlic, and 1 teaspoon salt. Cover and cook on low 7 to 8 hours or on high 3.5 to 4 hours. If using low, turn to high. In a small bowl, whisk together the cream and flour. Stir into the cooker. Cover and cook 20 minutes. Stir in broccoli and 1/2 teaspoon ground black pepper. Cover and cook about 10 minutes more until broccoli is tender and soup is thickened. Turn off cooker and stir in 1 cup cheese until melted. Season to taste. Top servings with remaining cheese, the sour cream, green onions, and bacon. And that serves 8 as well. From Real Simples, the staple, cream cheese. Anything that can top a bagel with panache and bake into a decadent dessert is already a champion multitasker in our book. But this classic spread also adds tang to fruity hand pies, deliciousness to baked pasta, and body to retro chic hors d'oeuvres. Just don't ask it to do the dishes, though at this point we wouldn't be surprised if it could. So here's quick instructions for those 3 items. Jammy pastries. Roll 2 refrigerated pie crusts into 10 by 12 inch rectangles on a slightly lightly floured surface. Place 1 crust on a parchment lined baking sheet, spread with 4 ounces softened cream cheese, leaving a 1/2 inch border. Spread 3/4 cup jam over the cream cheese. Top with the remaining crust and seal the edges. Prick holes all over the top. Bake at 375 for 22 minutes. Let cool for 10 minutes. Combine 4 ounces softened cream cheese, 1 cup confectioner's sugar, and 1/4 cup whole milk. Drizzle over the pastry. Cut into 8 rectangles. Cheesy baked pasta. Cook 12 ounces orecchiette until al dente. Those are the ones that look like little tiny hats. Add 3 cups broccoli during the final 2 minutes. Drain and return to pot. Cook 1 pound crumbled Italian sausage in a large oven-safe skillet for 10 minutes. Stir sausage, 2 cups marinara sauce, 4 ounces cream cheese, and 1 teaspoon kosher salt into the pasta. Return mixture to the skillet. Sprinkle with 1/4 cup grated Parmesan. Bake at 375 degrees until golden and bubbly, 15 to 18 minutes. And the last one, smoked fish dip. Coarsely chop 8 ounces smoked trout. Combine with 8 ounce softened cream cheese, 1/2 cup sour cream, 1/4 cup chopped cornichons, 3 tablespoons finely chopped shallots, 2 tablespoons chopped chives, 1 teaspoon cornichon pickling liquid, and 3/4 teaspoon kosher salt. Top with 1 teaspoon chopped chives and serve with crackers or crostini. And from Better Homes and Gardens, herbed skillet pastizio. We need lean ground beef or lamb, 1 pound, 1 cup chopped onion, 3 cloves of garlic minced, no salt added tomato sauce, that's a 1 15-ounce can, 1 tablespoon fresh oregano chopped, 1/4 teaspoon of ground cinnamon, 8 ounces dried ziti pasta, and 1 1/2 cups of purchased Alfredo sauce, you know, in a jar. And this is hands-on time is 15 minutes on this. Total time is 40 minutes. And it serves, does it say? Does not serve, serves 4. In a large oven-proof skillet, cook beef, onion, and garlic on medium-high 8 to 10 minutes or until the meat is browned. Drain off fat. Season with 1/4 teaspoon kosher salt and 1/4 teaspoon ground black pepper. Stir in tomato sauce, 1 1/4 cups water, the oregano, and cinnamon. Bring to boiling. Stir in ziti, return to boiling, reduce heat, simmer, cover 20 minutes or until ziti is tender, stirring occasionally. Preheat the broiler. Once pasta is tender, spread Alfredo sauce evenly over the top of the mixture. Broil 4 to 5 inches from the heat, 4 to 5 minutes, or until sauce is bubbly and starts to brown, rotating skillet as needed for even browning. Top with additional oregano. And there you have it. A quick thought from Real Simple. If we had no winter, the spring would not be so pleasant. If we did not sometimes taste adversity, prosperity would not be so welcome. That was Anne Broadstreet, Meditations Divine and Moral. We've run out of time for today's episode of Ladies Magazine. Be sure and listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jean Latshaw, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. It's available as a podcast on our website, ncreadingservice.org. Thank you for listening. See you next time.